Welcome to the February 27th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Stephen Henninger. The Unitarian Universalist Association has charged a commission to review and revise Article 2 of our bylaws, the part which includes our principles and sources. The review is mandated to happen every 15 years. In her homily, Rev. Pam reflects on reasons such a periodic review is necessary. The world is continuously changing, and even if a principle may not have changed, the language that was used 15 years ago may not be appropriate today. She cites examples showing how just changing a few words can make a principle more inclusive, a perspective she feels to be more important now than the policy writers felt 15 years ago.
Good morning. And welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Stephen Henninger, your worship associate today, and I'm leading worship this morning with our Reverend Pam Phillips. If you're here with us for the first time, we're so glad you found us. You'll find a link to the virtual visitors card in the chat on Zoom, or there's an old-fashioned paper card if you're here with us in person. Fill it out if you'd like us to stay in touch with you. If you have a joy or a sorrow you wish to be shared aloud today, you'll find a link in the chat online or another card in the back of the sanctuary, and we'll collect those during our opening hymn. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. You can look at our calendar on the website for times, locations, and Zoom links, and contact information if needed. Thank you to all the volunteers this morning and throughout the week who make all of these activities possible.
As we prepare for worship this morning, there's some things we wanted to remember. Those of you at home, if you want to mute yourself until the end of the service when we'll have breakout rooms, you can click on the little microphone icon. Also, in a minute, we're going to greet one another, and you can use the little camera icon to turn your video on so that the people here can see your faces and you can wave. But you can turn it off if you're in your pajamas or eating breakfast. And if you can control the transcript at the bottom by clicking on the CC box, and you can make the subtitles larger or smaller or disappear. Those of us here in the room, if we could put our phones on worship mode. In other words, turning off the sound so it doesn't interrupt the service. I also want to lift up some announcements. At 11:30 today, Jamie McReynolds will be leading a conversation on civic renewal. If you're here and would like to participate, it will probably be in the library, but it'll also be on Zoom, and you can find that link in the announcements. This afternoon at 1 o'clock, the anti-racism group will be talking about critical race theory at 1 o'clock on Zoom, so if that's something you're interested in, you might want to drop in, find out what's happening. And tonight, the Blacksburg Ministerial Association is going to be holding a Prayer for Peace service at 7 o'clock, and that will be all on Zoom. You can find that link in the announcements. And finally, our choir will be back in the sanctuary rehearsing and recording hymns for us on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. They've been trying to do it on Zoom, which those of you who know about singing on Zoom, it is a challenge. So if you've never been in the choir but you want to sing, come on Wednesday night at 7. They're doing hymns from the hymnals, so everyone is welcome. And finally, our pledge drive doesn't start until next week, officially, but we have all these wonderful activities, fun activities, that are lined up. So look in the announcements to see if there's some gathering you'd like to join in. And now I'd like to invite Sarah Catlett up to, and as you're coming up though, I just want to tell you that last night we had a celebration in this space, officially welcoming her two sons into their family, officially adopted. So let's give her a round of applause.
Thank you. This morning, pre-K will start to learn about the third principle by reading the book Spaghetti in a Hot Dog Bun and making an exclamation mark picture. K2 will also be learning about our third principle by reading Odd Bird and making a feathered mask. 3-5 will be talking about crime, justice, and forgiveness by reading the story Teaching a Thief. Then they will write a letter of forgiveness. And the middle school class today is watching The Simpsons episode Homer's Phobia and talking about LGBT rights. Thank you.
All right, here comes the most challenging and fun part of our services. We are going to greet one another across the miles. So those of you at home, we are going to put the gallery view of Zoom up onto our screens here. So we can see you now. Wave to everyone and say hello. And if you haven't yet, let us know where you are in the chat and I will let everyone else know. Clyde is here from Spokane. Frank and Denise are here from Radford. Where else are we from? Beth from Radford is here today. Clarksville, Tennessee, Tommy, not in New York, and Catherine from Blacksburg, Cynthia Blacksburg, Brianna from Radford, Avi from Pulaski, Carolyn Jim from Radford. We've got a lot of Radford today. Blacksburg, Christiansburg, Galax. Oh, quarantined in Blacksburg from Christiansburg. More Christiansburg. We are so glad that you are here. Oh, and Highland Park. All right, now everyone in the sanctuary, it's your turn to come onto the screen. So I'm going to try to do this well. There's our pianist, Jared. And here we go. Everybody wave. Tom is wearing his Mardi Gras beads. You can see out into the parking lot. Yes, am I going slowly enough? Yay! We are so glad to be here together. All right, now that we've got that out of the way, let's create some sacred space.
Let us create some sacred space by lighting the chalice, the symbol of our free faith. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. And our opening words this morning are by the Reverend Dr. David Breeden and is called Into the Circle. We gather into this circle. We gather into this circle of care to dream, to envision, to embody and achieve the compassion we dream, the justice we envision, the dignity of each in an ever-growing circle of love and justice.
Go like this.
This morning, instead of reading our congregational covenant, we'll be reading the covenant between and among all UU congregations. Please join in reciting the principles which begin the covenant of the Unitarian Universalist Association. And I'm going to wait till it gets on the Zoom screen. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion in human relations, acceptance of one another, and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. A free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the right of conscience, and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large. The goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. And so last year at our annual meeting, our congregation voted to adopt this eighth principle. We covenant to affirm and promote journeying towards spiritual wholeness by working to build a diverse, multiracial, beloved community by our actions that accountably dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and our institutions.
My friends, we are going to have a time for all ages. And we are all ages, aren't we? We just don't have the really little ones with us. But this is going to require a little audience participation. The Time for All Ages was written by Martha Dallas, and it's called Cleaning Our Clothes Closets. So, who here has had to go through your clothes sometimes? Say, every year or so. Have you ever had to go through your... Yeah. Did your parents make you do it when you were little? I hated that day. So I'm wondering, how do you decide what to keep and what to get rid of? How do you decide what clothes to toss? Haven't used them in a long time. It doesn't fit. Any other reason? It's worn out, yes. The mice got to it. I'm going to try to see how that metaphor translates. Yes, there's all kinds of reasons. Maybe you just don't wear it anymore. It's just been in the back of that closet for a really long time. So tell me about what's left in the closet when you're done. Are there older things in there? Yep. Newer things? Yeah. It's not that you just get rid of all the old things. There are some things that we love. I have a blouse. It hasn't fit in a long, long time, but it will be there always. So, switching gears. Does anyone remember how long ago this church started? Yeah, Walt? I'm sorry? How long ago did this church start? 1956, yeah, so it's been a few years, hasn't it? Think about what those people had in their closets. Were their clothes similar to ours or different? The styles were different, yes. That was in the 50s, poodle skirts, right? Remember those? Maybe, what was that?
Cuffs.
Cuffs on pants? Okay. I still have cuffs on my pants. So there were some things that they wore back then that are the same as what we wear now, the classics. But there are other things that we wouldn't even think about wearing now, aren't there? So the same people here came here on Sundays and they heard sermons. Well, actually, you know what? They didn't really hear sermons in 56. They heard talks and bassoon recitals. It was very different back then than it is now, wasn't it? They met down in the house down there in the 70s. They sang some hymns, and they taught their children what they felt was important, the things that they believed. Sally, you were one of the people who taught them those things, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Down there in that house.
Yep. The things they believed back then, their religious ideas, are kind of like the clothes in our closets. Like with our clothes, we need to look at our beliefs every so often and ask ourselves if they still fit. Perhaps they're too worn out to wear in public anymore. Maybe there's something we borrowed from someone else that we never really used anyway. We want our beliefs to reflect who we really are on the inside. So we keep the ones that still fit, that still work, and still have meaning for us when we wear them. Like our clothes, we want our beliefs to change a little with us as we grow and change, so that they will always remain true to who we are. And so ends our time for all ages.
And now, let us celebrate our ability to contribute to our community by collecting an offering. It is a practice of our congregation to share half of our of the offering with a local charity or a UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is Meals on Main Street, which in conjunction with Feeding Southwest Virginia and the USDA, provides food 7 days a week to all youth in the New River Valley. The meals and snacks are shelf-stable with ready-to-eat items based upon the USDA's nutrition guidelines. Please give online using the link in the chat or through the many ways listed on our screens. You'll be able to give after the service as well. For those of you in the sanctuary and would like to give cash or check, there's a basket in the back near the entrance of the sanctuary. Thank you all for your generosity. And as we collect our offering, we'll enjoy an offering from Jared, playing Wise One by John Coltrane, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. Please remember to maintain distance between yourself and others. For those online, you may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud later in the service. And now, join me as we accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Invite us now into a time of quiet meditation and prayer. Take a breath. Ground yourself in this space, in your space. Soften your shoulders. Soften your gaze. Maybe close your eyes. Be present to this moment, to the people in this space, virtual and actual. This is our circle, a circle of hope, remembrance, joy, and sorrow, a circle of community and care. Take another breath. Widen that sense of circle to those not in this space, but in this town, in this state, in this country. Think of all your loved ones who need your love and support, and the loved ones of those around you. Think of all who are suffering, insecure, unsafe. Let's send them our love. I think especially of those families in Texas, those trans children whose health and safety and emotional welfare is at risk. Let's send them our love. Now let's widen that circle farther to encompass this whole planet. All those who are in need of love and care, support and security, and especially those in Ukraine and those surrounding countries who are accepting the refugees. May they be safe and well, and may we send them our love and care. And the hard part. Let's open our hearts to those who are perpetrating this war and pray that they may know better, that they may enter into peace talks. Let's send them all our love. Come back down to yourself. Let's pray that we can find the strength and courage and ways to do whatever we can to help support those in the world who need our love and care. In the week ahead, if we can write a letter or send some money to a relief organization, or just send our loving care thoughts, let us do what we can to widen the circle of our love and care. Amen, and blessed be. It's hard when there's so little to do other than send prayers of love and care. But we know that when we pray, it changes us.
You're a Unitarian Universalist? What do you believe? When I first started attending UUC, my first UU congregation, my friends would be quick to ask me this question. I would talk about how you get to chart your own spiritual journey and how we had seven principles, and I maybe could remember one or two, and look to all sources of wisdom for spiritual enlightenment. Most friends would arch an eyebrow at me and say, "That sounds neat," and then quickly change the subject. Now looking back, I should have been talking about Article 2 of the Unitarian Universalist Association Charter that we read from earlier, that enumerates our seven principles and our sources of wisdom. If my friends or anyone asked me today what Unitarian Universalists believe, I'd share our seven principles. I'd talk about how we believe that everyone, and we truly mean everyone, has inherent dignity and worth. How we promote justice, equity, and compassion in all our relationships. That we promote and accept other forms of spiritual journeys in our congregations. That all of us are entitled to a free and responsible search for meaning and truth. That we believe fundamentally in the right of democracy in both our congregations and our larger society. That we have a goal to transform the world so peace, justice, and liberty can be experienced by all. And that we respect the interdependent web of all existence. These principles articulate not only our principles, but also our values. And yet, even more important is that we are called as a faith to regularly discern whether these values and principles still articulate what we believe and how we should navigate our relationships with others. The beauty of being a Unitarian Universalist is that we are a living tradition. We know that our knowledge of the world and of the holy evolves as our understanding and perspectives grow and shift. As we learn new information, hear new perspectives, and experience new forms of the sacred, we are called to engage in a period of discernment to ensure that our principles and our sources articulate our new understanding of the holy. Last year, our congregation engaged in this process of discernment and voted to adopt the eighth principle. We voted to clearly state that part of our values is to create a multiracial beloved community that hopes to dismantle racism and other forms of oppression in ourselves and other institutions. Trayvon Martin was killed 10 years ago this month, and with his murder, not to mention the killings and brutality of our black and brown siblings decades before and since, we are reminded that to create a beloved community, to ensure we see the inherent dignity and worth in all, we have to dismantle systemic racism. The activism, sorrow, and boisterous calls for the end of systemic racism is an example of the holy at work, and it calls on us as a faith to explicitly state our commitment to anti-racism work. We do this because we have seen over and over and over again that our society actively discriminates against our black and brown siblings. This new principle clearly proclaims our stance against racism and systemic oppression and our desire to create a multiracial beloved community. The UUA's seven principles are good and clearly articulate what we believe, and yet The seven principles failed to articulate our faith's understanding that to have a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, or to believe that everyone has inherent worth and dignity, we are also called to dismantle racism and oppression where we see it, and that ultimately, we seek to create a beloved community. And that process of discernment, of refining and expanding our understanding of the sacred, is what truly we believe as Unitarian Universalists. We know that our current understanding of the holy is limited to the scripture, experience, and knowledge we have encountered up until this point, and that as we expand our understanding and our experience and experience the holy, that we are required, as members of a living tradition, to continuously ensure that our public principles and values reflect our full understanding of the holy.
In other words, we have to clean our closets. Yes, we are called to enter into a process of discernment, of refining and expanding our understanding of the principles and the sources that we share as Unitarian Universalists. That is the promise and the challenge of a living tradition like ours. A living tradition is one that takes into consideration our changing understandings of the world and our place in it, and changes along with those new understandings. It's not always easy, though. Change, even positive change, can be challenging. And that can be unsettling, especially when it entails revisiting and perhaps revising beloved statements and sentiments. Now, some of you may have noticed that the title of our service changed from what was advertised in the newsletter and on the website, because I know you all read the newsletter and look at the website. In this sanctuary, the screen shows the original title, Walking Our Talk, crossed out, and a new one, Practicing What to Preach. I had to change the title, in part because the one I initially chose doesn't really reflect what we're talking about today. It's not so much about making sure that our actions match our words as figuring out what words we want most to put into action. But more to the point, in terms of a living tradition that responds to new knowledge and understandings, walking our talk is exclusionary and ableist language. It assumes that everyone can walk. Yes, it is a figure of speech. It's a metaphor. We all know what it means, but it is also a message, intentional or not, that to be part of a Unitarian Universalism or part of UUC, it is assumed that you must be able to walk. And if you cannot, well, then you're not really part of us. And if we want to practice what we preach about widening the circle, then we don't want to exclude anyone from our circle based on whether they can move without a cane or a crutch or a scooter or a wheelchair. Language matters. And changing the way that we use language can be unsettling, especially when it entails revisiting and perhaps revising beloved songs and slogans. The composer Jason Shelton of a much-loved hymn, Standing on the Side of Love, revised the words to Answering the Call of Love after he came to understand how it felt to those who cannot stand to hear, let alone sing, those words. It was more important for him that everyone feel included, that everyone could sing and hear those words and know that they were included, than to hold tight to his original creation. In that same vein, we are reconsidering some of our gendered language. Consider our second source, which initially cited words and deeds of prophetic women and men. This source was written in the 1980s, and not only did they include women, but they put them first. That was a big deal, affirming that women were as important as men. But in 2017, we took a step further as Unitarian Universalists, changing it to the words and deeds of prophetic people. To those who identify as female or male, that may seem like a trivial change. But to those who don't identify as either male or female, who are non-binary or gender fluid people, it is huge. As my colleague, the Reverend Chris Rothbauer, put it, it will tell the gender fabulous children and youth of our movement that we will not only shelter them when they need us, but that we need them to enrich this faith and be our prophets. See how far we widen the circle with the change of just a couple words. Now, I admit that using non-gendered language, like saying they instead of he or she for a single person, can be challenging at first, especially for a former English teacher. But they is a singular pronoun now, according to some dictionaries. But the more we practice it, the better we get at it. And when we do it, others follow. I was surprised last week. I was at an NAACP Religious Affairs Committee meeting. And there's an older Lutheran pastor there who said siblings instead of brothers and sisters. And he said that he appreciated learning that new way of saying it. He learned it from me. I don't even remember saying anything. But he was widening the circle with his language. But let's get back to Article 2, the principles and sources that Stephen was talking about. I will never forget my surprise when I realized that the 7 principles and 6 sources of Unitarian Universalists, which you will find in the opening pages of this gray hymnal, were not set in stone, even though they were printed in black and white. It was at the General Assembly in Salt Lake City in 2009 when we voted on whether or not to adopt the suggested revisions to the purposes and principles, which are in Article 2 of the UUA bylaws, which are mandated to be reviewed every 15 years. So those of you who are kind of wonky about bylaws, you're going to love what's coming up next. The last time they'd been reviewed was in the mid-1980s, mid-1980s to 2009, obviously longer than 15 years. The Commission on Appraisal explained what their charge was. And they said at the time, those who instituted the bylaw mandating review every 15 years clearly knew what they were doing. By 2006, when this review began, the world had changed, and Unitarian Universalism had changed. The Commission's task has been to reflect these changes in ways that will sustain this association of congregations for at least the next 15 years. So they've been working on it since 2006. Some of the changes were relatively minor. Listen for them. From the purposes section, the commission recommended changing a reference to the Unitarian Universalist Association to the Association of Free Yet Interdependent Congregations. A little difference. And instead of serve the needs of the member congregations was changed to supports the creation, vitality, and growth of congregations. That sounds good. In the principles section, which we read today, they suggested shortening the fifth to just the right of conscience, and the use of the democratic process. So they dropped off within our congregations and society at large. So, and this one I kind of love. They changed the first word of the seventh principle from respect to reverence for the interdependent web. See that slight shift there? Oh, but wait, we didn't say reverence, did we? You can see where this is going. The big change had to do with the sources. And I'm going to ask you to go ahead and make sure that we all in here can see the sources and at home too. So these are the sources as they're written in the front of our, and you don't have to read it all. As you can see though, the sources are laid out with bullet points for the different sources we claim. So direct experience of transcending mystery, words and deeds of prophetic people, wisdom of the world's religions, Jewish and Christian teachings, humanist teachings, spiritual teachings of earth-centered traditions. The Commission on Appraisal suggested a change that would highlight the Unitarian and Universalist sources from which we sprang with reference to the rest of the sources in a paragraph. So if you go ahead and go to the next slide, this is what they suggested instead. So the first paragraph talks mostly about Unitarians and Universalists, and then you can see the rest of the traditions are also listed, but there's not as much a description of each of those sources. You can see from the slide that it looks and sounds really different. So different that the Commission's recommendations were challenged. Many of the objections had to do with the sound, the poetry of the language. But others felt like the sources that were most important to them, particularly the humanist and the earth-centered traditions, were being marginalized, kind of pushed outside the circle. That's what the Commission had been working on for over 2 years. And there was much discussion on that Friday afternoon, plenary sessions, they used to call them, about these changes and about the rules that said that the Assembly couldn't amend any of the wording. The last to speak was a delegation from the Youth Caucus. They had discussed the changes and came out in favor of them. One said, "We think it is long overdue." But when it came to do the vote the next day, not to accept the changes, but to consider them the next year, because they're considered so important, you have to spend 2 years thinking about them. The vote was incredibly close. We had these yellow cards that we held up in the air, and from the stage they could see that they couldn't just do a visual scan. So we had to sit there with our cards, and they manually counted all of us. When the votes were counted, the result was 573 yes and 586 no. By a margin of 13 votes, slightly more than 1% of the total cast, the motion failed, which is why we read the old principles. As it happened, 2 days later, I shared a shuttle to the airport with the chair of the Commission on Appraisal, who had spent 2 years reviewing and revising the wording in the bylaws. And I cannot imagine what it must have been like to have all that work ended in such a way. But I also remember feeling so unprepared to vote. I was a delegate for my congregation in Charlottesville, and I had no idea how they would have wanted me to vote. And frankly, I wasn't really sure what I thought of it. I love those seven principles. Which brings us to the current issue. The Article II Commission has been charged to review and revise those principles and sources. Should we count the years? So that was 2009, and now it's 2022. We're a little late again. Part of their charge reads this way. The new principles and purposes should guide us in the transformation of ourselves, our communities, and our faith into active networks of collective care, restoration, and justice. The principles and purposes you will prepare should be a living document that challenges Unitarian Universalists to place the liberation in all its dimensions of all at the center of our lives. They should be honest about our past, name what we are facing and our aspirations, and where we hope to be, not just for today, but looking out at the horizons. They should ask us to choose love in action as the path forward. Our commitment to anti-racism, anti-oppression, and multiculturalism is love in action and should be centered in any revision of Article 2. Finally, the charge says, the principles and purposes should lead us into the second quarter of the 21st century while honoring the historic roots of our liberal progressive faith. That's just part of the charge. There are like four more paragraphs. Phew, what a task they have. But it is not just their work to do. It is also ours. Last week, we mentioned the current debate about an affordable housing project in Blacksburg. One of the objections I've heard is that the people of Blacksburg were not included in the preliminary discussions and planning. I get that. I remember how jarring it was for me to hear about the changes to what I considered sacred principles and sources at that GEA in Salt Lake City. I don't want us as a congregation or our delegates at the General Assembly in Portland, or actually not in Portland, in 2023, to feel the same way. I want us to participate in that discussion. The Article 2 Commission is charged to seek the active participation of UUs across all demographics, identities, and theological philosophical beliefs. So my colleague in Virginia Beach, the Reverend Viola Abbott, has created an 8-session workshop to explore how we might reimagine our principles and sources to help guide us into the future. And we here at UUC will be using her plans as an adult faith development offering starting this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And we might just do it hybrid, some people here and some people on Zoom, but certainly on Zoom. And I hope that those of you who are especially interested in our principles and our sources and our purposes will consider joining in. And if you can't participate in the workshop, I'll be glad to share all the resources that we use for you to consider. To consider what we as Unitarian Universalists feel called to do and be in the 21st century. How should our living tradition respond to the realities of our lives, particularly in widening the circle of our concern? What words can help us, help call us to be our best selves in a world that needs healing and wholeness? I think of Stephen's friends who asked him what Unitarian Universalism is all about. You've probably heard those questions too. And I remember how hard it was for me to answer those questions for my own friends when I first discovered this faith. And I wonder how we most often answer with our principles and our sources. I wonder how that might change in the next few years. And I want to be a part of that conversation. And I hope you do too. So sign up Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And if not, talk amongst yourselves. Talk with me. It's important. It's about who we are and what we want to be in the world. Let us be that prophetic church that leads us into a future of freedom and of peace, wholeness and of healing. We extinguish this chalice, but not the warmth of this community, nor the fire of commitment. Let's take that in our hearts until we are together again